It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's definitely giving them a shot. Definitely. I mean, I'm not never going to count out. Like I told y'all earlier, the situation was to always be salvaged and worked out. So I'm going to go do my thing. And then at the end of the year or whatever, whenever they, I'm definitely giving them a fair chance for sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely it's a relief. You want to play football? That's what I do. I mean, if anybody knows me, I'm football. I mean, I got my kids, my wife to take care of her, and I'm straight football. This is all I do. So to be away from it, it definitely kills me. But being back out here, getting back, getting my rhythm back, and make sure my feet works good and learn this defense, I think I've learned a lot the first day. Pretty good on the head of schedule on what I got to do out there on the field. And so I feel very comfortable. Oh, man, it wasn't about winning, man. It's just about getting back to the field and winning games on the field. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. I'm not even worried about the dispute. Everything's in the past. And now it's just about winning football games.
Who won, Elway or Chris Harris?
Won? Why is it? I was talking to Richie, talking with Richie about this earlier, and on Twitter it's Elway got his butt kicked and Chris Harris won. And why is it winning and losing? It's Chris is happy. Elway has his cornerback back. Doesn't have to worry about him sitting out the season. For 2019, it's all in. Win now.
It's a negotiation. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Can't they both win?
No.
Why?
Doesn't work like that. Somebody wins and somebody loses in a negotiation.
Can't they both win or both lose? Why do we have to put wins and losses?
You can both lose.
Attach wins and losses to a negotiation. A dispute, as Chris Harris Jr. just said.
Why are you being so prickly?
I'm not being prickly. I just think it's weird.
They both won.
It cost. It's not John Elway's money he gave to Chris Harris Jr. So I mean, who cares?
Saw Joe Ellis today. He had to sign off on this, I would assume. Saw John and Matt Russell and a couple of other swarthy-looking gentlemen. It is funny. They just—it's a Masters of the Universe when you walk in. It's just. I was thinking about you a little bit today because I've said, you know, Elway, he'll probably retire in a couple of years and that. But then there was a moment today when I was looking, I'm like, what you said, like, why would he ever quit this?
Who, John?
Yeah. You got a pretty fair point. Especially if you have somebody else doing all the little crap that you don't like doing.
Yeah. Prior to the draft, he was on a yacht or a private island.
One, two, three, Cancun.
Was just getting into it. Was going to have a conversation with Vic Fangio.
One, two, three, Cancun.
One, two, three, Cancun.
Yeah, he. I mean, it sucks if you're doing poorly, obviously, and it's been a tough couple of years, no doubt about it. But just seeing the Elway's got so much swag, it's ridiculous.
His job, for the most part, is over now.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there are injuries and finding guys, but that's more Matt Russell and the scouting department.
Right, right.
Waiver wire. John Elway's not searching the waiver wire.
No. No, I actually looked at him today and looked at Joe, and I was like, and thinking about Brittany.
Well, he can't quit now, though.
If he was going to quit,
it would have been after the 2015, just like as a player, go out on top. But he can't quit now with these last three, 9-7, 5-11, and 6-10. He's got to right the ship because that's why he took the job in the first place, was the 4-12 season.
Today I changed my mind in terms of what the future really could be. Because if Brittany does come in, by the way, I found out about the Hall of Fame thing. If the person's not going to be there, everything's on video. Like, there is no speaker.
Oh, okay.
Like, Pat Bowles.
Pre-recorded.
Everything. Greek. Everything will be, like, 5-6 minute video. So all the kids will speak about their dad. They're even sending a...
Johnny. Blood of the City.
The Blood of the City will be part of the video.
Some editing going on there.
They're sending a film crew out to Hawaii to get Amy Klemmer, the oldest daughter, get her on video. So they're doing that right now. So I found that out. And then I was like, well, why don't you just They should just do that for everybody. The ceremony would be like 35 minutes long. It'd be fantastic. So no worries about the blood of the city. I mean, I think they're still going to be there. I think Elway, you know, I was looking at today, like, why would... Because I saw Peyton Manning today. You know what Peyton Manning was doing today?
I thought he was golfing.
Yeah.
With Tiger.
Right.
Yeah. A pro-am. John can do that, too.
Oh yeah.
He still has the Tahoe.
No doubt. But I'm going to guess Peyton's getting to be a little bored right around now.
He's turned down a lot of opportunities.
He sure has.
If we believe that the Jets are really interested in him as a GM, Monday Night Football.
Right.
There's been some sweet gigs.
I know.
That he's passed on. So how bored can he be?
We'll see.
He's building his brand still.
Yeah. But this job is kind of perfect for the long haul if he gets somebody else in there. All right, we're going to bring James in. Talk about 104.3thefan.com. By the way, I am tagging out relatively shortly, so you can save all your comments.
What are you doing tonight?
Going to the Rockies game. All right, James, come tell us everything about 104.3thefan.com. Fantastic. That's next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Breaking news. All right. We're on the air. Well, I'm not on the air for long, but... Cecil Lammy is. We're going to the bullpen. And before we go to the bullpen for Cecil, I just...
Not a quality start today, by the way.
No. This was Kyle Friedland-like.
Yes.
Yes.
Four awful innings right now.
He gave it an effort. You commend him for that.
No. I think this was his plan all along.
But he probably...
Get in, get a... I guess you can qualify this as a full work day for you.
Right.
And then get out.
Right.
Absolutely brilliant.
So you know, the bar has been set for me. Like Chris Harris Jr.
In terms of what?
You know, I saw you do this, pull these shenanigans. I can just come in with a hoarse voice and pretend.
Yeah.
And just do an hour and get out.
Sure. How long you worked here?
Long enough.
Okay.
Bam!
James Marilat from 104.3thefan.com, and Cecil is going to sit down here in a second, but I just want to go over one thing. You like the wave.
I do like the wave.
You wrote an article about liking the wave.
It's late May, man. You got to come up with some content of what's going on. And there was all this consternation on Memorial Day at Coors Field because people were doing the wave, and all these, you know, curmudgeons on Twitter were just going on and on and on about how terrible it is. I like the wave. I think it's a lot of fun.
Do you like Dinger?
I do like Dinger.
All right. Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. All right. Here's the thing people don't understand.
The dong likes Dinger.
You need to go out into center field, like the third inning or whatever, and look at the line of kids that are out there to get Dinger's autograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's immensely popular. Yes. And here's what people don't seem to grasp.
Uh-huh.
We're not the demo for Dinger.
Yeah, that's true.
My 7-year-old is the demo for Dinger.
Right.
And he thinks he's fantastic.
Yeah. And Dinger big time my kids at Salt River. Big timed them. Big time my kids.
I try not to let my personal interactions and feelings impact my...
So when you see...
He wouldn't spend time with my kids. He walked away.
When you see the wave... What?
This happened.
What are you talking about?
Spring training.
What do you mean he walked away?
He was walking around the concourse. My kids wanted to get like a picture with him.
Yeah.
And Dinger walked away. I don't know how else to say it.
It's hard to see.
He doesn't see. He didn't see your kids.
Right. Benefit of the doubt.
I made eye contact with the dinosaur.
How do you know? Are his eyes in the eyes?
It's behind like these screened eyes.
Right.
He saw me. And I had my kids who were young at the time.
Were they heartbroken?
No, I don't think they cared.
Did you get him Wally's autograph?
No.
Because you must hate Wally.
Walt Weiss?
Who's Wally?
Wally Red, World?
James, when you see the
the hell's Wally?
Wally, Red Sox. When you see...
Oh, the green monster?
Right. When you see the wave coming, are you participating? Are you looking forward to standing up and throwing your arms up?
Yeah, most of the time. It takes 4 or 5 seconds. I get to be, you know, involved with something that 40,000 people are all doing at the same time. It's the community effort. Why not just sit at home and watch it in a dark room by yourself then? I don't get it.
Tom, will you participate in the wave when it comes around?
What inning?
Seventh inning.
Yes, I'll be well into the beer by then.
See? Exactly.
The first inning, I'm probably not going to partake in it.
You're the guy at the party, though, that is partaking in the party. Yes. You're not the one sitting in the corner just being critical of everybody else who's having a good time. Yeah. Nobody wants to be that guy.
Okay.
That's why the wave is fun.
All right, Cecil, you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. I'll lead you into it. Cecil, what were your impressions of, what are you writing, right? 1043thefan.com. What's your latest contribution?
Latest contribution is OTA observations. Yay, it's that time of year, right, James, where we're going to watch stuff and we're going to see stuff. And for all the people that say, and I got to get you guys to weigh in on this because people say it's OTAs, it's practice. Bye, DMAC. Everyone says it's no big deal. Nothing happens. Nothing matters. I always say this. Have you guys read what's going on in Baltimore? And Lamar Jackson is like surprised they put in a new offense and he looks like garbage. Like, it's news then, right? So if I write something that's an observation like Juwan Winfrey looks pretty good or Philip Lindsay's not doing anything yet, like, okay, it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most important, mean everything, but it's the stuff that's going on now.
You're looking for the nugget of information that is going to mean something come August and September, right? So it's Fumagalli being out there and catching everything that comes his direction. And,
right.
Oh, who's he playing with? Is he with the ones or the twos? It's those little things that you're trying to glean some information from. If he drops a pass, does that mean he's not going to make the team and he's not going to be, you know, participating and being a big part of the offense come September? Of course not. But there are little things you can glean, and then you can connect those dots to come up with, okay, what's going to be happening here when this turns into football for real?
It's similar to the preseason games. It's you might be like, why isn't that guy getting any reps? Well, look back to training camp or look back to the OTAs, and you're like, well, he couldn't grasp the offense, and that's why. But people say OTAs are meaningless and preseason games are meaningless. Well, right after the preseason is the regular season, and you have to base what you saw throughout the offseason in training camp to figure out who your 53 guys are going into. They're not meaningless in any way, in the OTAs. That's why Chris Harris, that's why it was so important for him to get here yesterday. Not only was it the money, but to get acclimated to a new defense. Because it's a different style for him.
Well, one of the things you pointed out, Cecil, in your latest piece, and this is an example of why they're not meaningless, Philip Lindsay, according to your observations out there, is getting frustrated and antsy with the fact that he's not able to participate in anything beyond pretty basic drills.
Right.
Well, he knows because he's standing there on the sideline and other guys are getting reps and getting, you know, used to being with Joe Flacco and being in this offense and all of those kind of things. Well, it isn't meaningless to Philip Lindsay. He knows he needs to be out there.
No, right. It creates paranoia for the guys that aren't partaking in it because you're thinking, this is the NFL. There's not many guaranteed contracts out there. So you're watching the guys. If you're not practicing, you're watching them going, man, he kind of is playing just like me. He's making the same blocks or he's catching the same passes or making the right cuts on routes. And you get nervous about it. So Philip Lindsay being antsy he wants to be out there playing football, but he's also seeing guys getting the reps that he thinks he should be getting.
Right. And in the NFL, you're in a constant state of paranoia.
Spring training and baseball, those guys aren't. Daniel Murphy wasn't sweating making the Rockies roster at that point.
Well, how many guys out on the field today for the Broncos are immune to being paranoid, right? Like Vaughn isn't. Vaughn's not paranoid.
No.
Joe Flacco, at least right now, probably isn't paranoid.
Right.
But it's a handful. It's five or six guys.
Bradley Chubb.
Chris Harris Jr.
Vaughn Miller. Chris Harris Jr. Kareem Jackson, probably Bryce Callahan because they pretty much handpicked him from Chicago. Offensively, Juwan James, you gave him a bunch of money. But other than that, even a guy like Connor McGovern or even Garrett Bowles, I mean, right? Those guys shouldn't feel all that comfortable.
So we just named like five guys.
Yeah, and everybody else is paranoid. To everybody else out there, this is vitally important to go out there and make sure they're making the right impression, showing people that, yep, I got a grasp of what we're doing, and I need to be a part of the 53. That all starts right now.
That sounds like a blog I should write at 104.3thefan.com.
Good brainstorm.
It's gold. You hand it right there. Okay, Broncos OTAs going on today. They do mean something.
We wanted James on because, and it had nothing to do with what he wrote for the website. It was more what I found on Twitter today was, next segment. Okay, all right.
What you found on Twitter today.
That I tweeted?
Yes.
James has been tweeting.
It was Chris Harris Jr. centric.
You had an issue with it.
I just wanted you because there's character limits on Twitter, and I wanted you to have the opportunity to kind of explain or expound upon your feelings, because I feel like you were typing angrily, and there's no font for anger or sarcasm, but
you can sense that I was typing angrily.
Angrily
might be the choice of words.
Angrily and expounding. And we'll go all caps with James' thoughts on Chris Harris Jr. next.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Man.
Okay, this is a little convoluted. All these big words, I think it's because I'm sitting next to Tommy Nalen.
Yep.
Cecil Lammy, James Merrillat. We're from 104.3thefan.com. Check out our work. Tommy's sitting here, D-Max. Driving home with a sore throat. And James, you had tweeted out, I guess, Tommy, you should set this one up, because James, you were tweeting angrily. Did you admit that over the break that yes, you can remember you were angrily tweeting about Chris Harris?
Well, not this specific tweet per se, because I'm not 100% sure which one you're talking about. But by and large, when I tweet, it's because I'm angry.
Angry James.
So, like during a Broncos game, there will be way more tweets when they're playing poorly. Then when they're playing well, what is there to add to it? Hey, Everything's going well. So I think that there's a pretty good chance that I was angry when I tweeted this.
The Broncos just spent $3.1 million for something they already had.
Which is true.
So you were never of the belief that Chris Harris was threatening to sit out the season?
I'm sure he was threatening. I was never of the belief that he would actually sit out the season. That's a lot of money to leave on the table.
But if the team felt like he was going to sit out, the team believed it. Otherwise, he would have been here playing under his contract, his old contract now.
But it happens every single year. Somebody threatens to sit out, and save for Le'Veon Bell, who I know is a recent example, I'm hard-pressed to come up with a list of guys who've actually carried through with the threat.
And Le'Veon Bell was not under contract.
Yeah,
I mean, Chris Harris Jr. was under contract.
But guys have done it, and they've come back mid-season to get the accrued year so that they can possibly hit free agency.
But he want to do that?
So
it's the exception, though, not really the rule. Most of the guys decide, you know what, I'm going to show up. And you start missing game checks. You start getting fined. Most guys show up and decide to play. They may not be happy about it, which I'm sure he wouldn't have been, but they do show up and play.
So you were calling his bluff, but the Broncos felt like he was being honest and he wasn't going to play.
I think they were not willing to take the chance.
Right.
I would have called
this
one.
So they paid $3 million to make sure that he was playing in 2019.
To ensure it.
Mind.
I think there's part of that. I think part of it, and you know, we've talked about it for a long time, John Elway has gotten a reputation, you can say if it's a bad reputation or not, for being a pretty hard-nosed negotiator. I mean, he let guys leave here who were big parts of very good teams without even giving them an offer. You know, Eric Decker,
Bradley Roby,
Orlando Franklin, No'Shawn. I mean, guys that he doesn't even bother to return their phone call. He asked Peyton Manning to take a pay cut, or forced Peyton Manning to take a pay cut. So he was getting a bad reputation around the league. I do think part of this is, hey, let's try and make sure we're changing the narrative to be more of, if you come here and you play well and you take care of us, we'll take care of you. I think there's a part of that going on here as well.
Okay, and I brought up Bradley Roby only because your next tweet, not the next one in succession, but I'm bouncing around. The notion that Chris Harris Jr. has been grossly underpaid in recent seasons is just silly. Look at the numbers.
It's true.
Okay, so we're talking 2019.
Correct.
And Bradley Roby was making, what did the Texans give him for one
year? $10 million.
And Chris Harris was making?
8.9. And it was number 25 of all cornerbacks in the league.
So in 2019, you're saying that Chris Harris was not underpaid, but he was making a couple million dollars less than Bradley Roby for Houston.
Somebody who signed a new deal is always going to be making more than somebody who signed a contract 4 years ago. But if you look over the entire last 4 years.
No, Champ Bailey, when he finished in 2013, he was making about 10 total money for 2013.
Okay.
So that's... I mean, that's before
Darrell Revis making at that point? Probably that's, 16.
That's before Chris Harris signed his contract in 2015. You can go back and look at guys of the ability of Chris Harris Jr. and go, they were making more 5 years ago, 6 years ago than he was making, supposed to make for 2019. But I'm just looking at 2019, just looking at Bradley Roby as an example. And if you're going to tell me Bradley Roby is a better corner than Chris Harris Jr., I can't have a conversation.
The Broncos did not make an offer to Bradley Roby. I wouldn't try to make that argument. But that tweet was in reference to the fact that everybody talks about this hometown discount that Chris Harris Jr. gave the Broncos 3 or 4 years ago. They make it sound like he's been playing for free just out of the goodness of his heart. Well, that contract to this point is still the 15th largest contract ever signed by a cornerback in terms of total money. Still, to this day. So not as though it was chump change. The other part of it is during those 4 years, so in the last four seasons, including 2019 now, the Chris Harris Jr.'s cap hit, because to me that's the more accurate way to look at it, because otherwise you're going to have a big number up front from a cash standpoint because the signing bonus, and it's going to be smaller as the thing goes on. His cap hit over the last 4 years during the part of this hometown discount deal has never been outside the top 11 in the league.
It's about, now, what, eight and a half-ish?
On average, yeah. So
over 5 years.
And look, during that time, has he been one of the two or three or four best corners? Sure, but he's been in the top 11. It's not as though he's 59th on the list and like, oh my gosh, how is he down there? Top 11. I mean, there's 32 teams. There's two starting cornerbacks. In today's day and age, there's really three for a lot of them. So you're talking, you know, 64 to 96 guys. He's in the top 11. I don't think that's grossly underpaid.
But is it 2019?
Maybe sure.
2019, he's 25th prior to this deal in money paid in 2019. That seems like he's grossly underpaid.
You could make an argument, and let me jump in
here. Based on stability.
You could make an argument that had he not gotten a hometown discount, had he been paid this huge, enormous deal, that he wouldn't be here now.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
Because at the end of the deal, the guys don't usually earn that last year money. I mean, the fact that Derek Wolf's here on the books for, what, 11?
Most guys don't make it to the last year of their contract.
Right, so Chris Harris had like this big, huge, amazing Malik Jackson. Look at Malik Jackson.
But he did. But
he
didn't.
Had to find a new home.
But he didn't. In 2019, they're looking at his base salary of $7.8 million going, why would we cut him?
But the situation
usually
for Chris,
it just balloons and the teams are forced to cut the player.
The situation for Chris Harris Jr., though, isn't all that unusual, right? Where his contract over the course of time and by the time he gets to the end of it, if he's still playing at a high level, because newer contracts by other guys have been signed in the last 3 or 4 years, at that point now he's moving down the list. Yeah, he would have been 25th or whatever, wherever he would have fell this season. But then he's in line next year when he becomes an unrestricted free agent to be one or be two. Like, that's just how the system works. So he starts at like six and then slowly moves his way down over the course of the years as new deals get signed. And then when it's his turn to re-up, all of a sudden he's back to the top of the list. That's just how it works. To me, Chris Harris Jr. wanted his cake and eat it too. He wanted to be at the top of the list when he first signed the deal or near the top of the list. And then as that got to the end, he wants to be back up there again. And I want to be an unrestricted free agent next year and be number one. It's like, geez, dude, what more do you want?
And that makes him a me guy.
He is a me guy.
Because that's your other tweet.
He's a me guy.
What NFL player is not a me? You have to look out for number one in the NFL. You do. You have to be a me guy. You have to worry about, because the money's not guaranteed, you got to get it when you can. And everybody's making this, you know, he's 30 years old and he's old now. So you have to get it when you can. There's no guarantees.
Were you a me guy?
When I was going to be a free agent, and after 12 years, I was looking out for me. And the Broncos made an offer from Ted Sundquist. It was terrible. I said, there's no way in hell I'm signing this contract. Like, this is ridiculous. First, I took a pay cut the year before, and I was like, I want to get my money back. I want to get the money back that you took from me in 2004, because I think I outplayed the money I was making in 2005. And, you know, Mike intervened, and we got a deal done. But at that point, I was pissed off. And I was about me at that point.
I don't have a problem with a player trying to get every dollar he can when it's his turn to get a new deal. The example you're talking about, you were going to be a free agent. You were up. It was time for you to cash in. Great. Go cash in. I think, though, at the end of a deal, in the final year of a contract, that to be so petty that I want to make $50,000 more this year than the other guy playing my position because I got to be the highest paid cornerback in the building, to me is being, it's the definition of a me guy.
No,
it's a me
guy. This is life, man. You always want to make more than your neighbor or whoever it is. It's not just, it's just not football players. It's everybody. It's the baseball players, you know, waiting out. They want that $300 million deal, the Bryce Harpers. It's everybody.
But he wasn't due for it. It wasn't his turn, and he put himself in front of the team and his teammates.
It didn't
because
hurt the
he
team.
Had to move ahead. It, well, that's $3 million they can't spend on somebody else.
What hot free agent is out there right now?
Well, now their cap room went from $9 million to $6 million. So they have less money to be able to go and do something.
What were they going to do?
How would Gerald McCoy look in the middle of this defense? He's better than Derek Wolfe. He's better than Adam Gotsis. Gerald McCoy with those two outside rushers? Man, now you're talking about something.
I think they got their Gerald McCoy right now and Draymond Jones. I think they're very similar players.
Maybe. In best case scenario, he develops into somebody that's 75% of
the Gerald McCoy. Why didn't they go get Gerald McCoy before they signed Chris Harris? And then they could have told Chris, sorry, dude, the money's all gone. We signed
and
Gerald
forced
McCoy.
His hand.
But to me.
They could have done that. There was plenty of time. They had a week.
If you could have had Chris Harris Jr. and another player, or Chris Harris Jr. Which one's better? Chris Harris Jr. and another player. I'd rather have two than one.
Yes, but you were at risk of just that other player and not Chris Harris Jr.
Well,
to me, if quarterback is such a premium position, then you want on the other side of the ball the best you can be. And Chris Harris Jr. gives us that. And if he was threatening to sit out.
I think
but you didn't believe him.
I think that's the biggest difference in how you and I view this. I didn't believe
me
that.
Me and the Broncos, by the way. Because I wanted them to pay him, too.
Okay. And you guys, you and the Broncos, thought he was willing to sit out. I look at that and go, I don't think somebody's going to sit out and let $7.8 million of base salary this year just go by the wayside.
James, you have ignited the fan base because Adrian wants to get through here on the drive. Adrian, you're up. What do you got to say about James?
Hey, what's going on? James is a hater.
James, he's angry.
He's an NFL player hater and... What doesn't make sense to me, James, is that if you knew somebody that you were working with that just started made more than you, less qualifications, you would want more money. Whether you have the guts to stand up and say it is a different thing.
No, Kareem Jackson isn't just starting. Kareem Jackson's a longtime veteran.
I understand that. I definitely understand that. But these guys have to get the money when they can get the money. And I'm no NFL player. I played high school football. But the contracts that NFL players sign are not equitable. The team can dump them whenever they want. So these guys got to get their money.
Yes.
Well, here's the deal. Adrian, appreciate the call.
And here's the issue I have with Adrian's point. Of course, if I signed a four-year deal to write for the website – and 3 years in, they bring in somebody who's
a lesser writer for more money,
and he's making more money. Yeah, it would tick me off. And you know when I would play that card? When it goes in, when it's time to go in and renegotiate my deal.
That makes it all nice and tidy.
It's you know what? Here we go. So you paid him that. You now set the floor for my new deal, and off we go. That's how the system's supposed to work.
What if you were...
When it's not cake and eat it two time.
What happens if your hands were getting old and you needed to get the money now and you couldn't write anymore? You were getting
dementia.
The carpal tunnel was just
arthritis
raging.
In your fingers. And you knew it was coming. And you were like, man, I don't know if I can write much longer. I better get it now.
The same thing that's going to happen...
You know what? I'm not writing anymore. Forget it.
The same thing that's going to happen with the me guy.
And the website will suffer...
If this team is 2-4, you watch all the little ticky-tack injuries that keep Chris Harris Jr. on the sideline. You just watch. It's going to be pulled hammy time. It's going to be soft tissue time.
A guy playing for a free agent contract is going to sit out. And it's a small world in the NFL.
All right.
Teams know. He sat out with that?
You and I actually think this team's going to be pretty good this year. So
you do?
We may not get to this point. Yeah, which even though I'm a hater, I'm one of the few people that thinks this is a 10-win team. I think it's a 10-6 team. I'm right there with you. So we probably won't see this scenario play itself out. But my suspicion is if this team isn't going anywhere, Chris Harris Jr. isn't going to be putting himself out there in harm's way. Because sitting down and not playing because you have a pulled hammy won't look good. But blowing out your knee certainly isn't going to look good if you're a free agent.
I would say don't at me, bro, but I have a feeling that James doesn't mind if you at him, at James Merrillat on Twitter, of course, our digital editor here at 1043thefan.com. James, thank you.
You bet, guys.
I know the reason why the Broncos did this, and it's not a reason that you want. That's next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, the Chris Harris Jr. deal has been a head-scratcher for everyone out there, Tommy. What'd you say? Cecil Lammy's sitting in for D-Mac because his throat's...
Still going to the Rockies
sounds
game,
sounds like
though.
Sandpaper. What, he's going to the Rockies game?
Yeah, he's still going.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully he drinks some tea.
Yeah,
and not some cold pops. Coors Light won't work on that throat, buddy.
I think scotch would help.
Perhaps. We used to call it cowboy medicine when I grew up in the country and I was sick. Maybe shouldn't say this on the air, but my dad would be like, here's a shot of whiskey. I didn't know it was whiskey. He'd just be like, here's cowboy medicine. I'd fall asleep, wake up, feel great. So maybe that's why I drink whiskey. I don't know. But Tommy, I think I figured it out, brother. I think I figured out why the Broncos did this. They didn't need to. He wasn't going to hold out. You're going to tell me that a 30-year-old corner in a contract year is going to hold out 10 games?
They believed
it. And then come back?
They believed it.
Well, here's why I believe they went ahead and did the deal with Chris Harris Jr. I think it was for the right or ability to say, well, we tried next year when he leaves in free agency. I have a feeling that this deal was done. Perception, right? Perception is reality. The perception is the Broncos gave a guy, he didn't even need to give him a raise, and they gave it to him. And then next year when Chris Harris hits the open market, and he said it himself, he'll listen to the Broncos. When someone else signs him away for $16 million a year, the Broncos can put in a $13 million offer. We tried, and we gave him a raise last year.
It's a $3 million a PR stunt.
An optics
for 2020.
Maybe.
I think they believed that he was going to sit out at least a part of the season. And it's 2019. You come off back-to-back losing years.
Mm-hmm.
It is win at all costs right now. And they didn't want to take a chance that Chris Harris would not play for 16 games. Because when he got hurt last year, when they were 6-6, it didn't end well. So I think they fell for it. But they believed that he was going to miss and sit out a part of the season.
But instead of going to Pac-Man Jones or anybody else that they did last year, you'd have better options in your Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan,
etc.
Throughout
OTAs,
he's been safety.
They've been planning on Chris Harris Jr. coming back, and Kareem Jackson has been playing mostly safety. So, I think they had in their mind that they would bend to Chris Harris Jr. They did the right, for me, it's the most outrageous contract ever, but I feel like they did the right thing. They've been so heavy-handed in contracts in the past, whether stringing it out to the last minute with Vaughn or not even offering guys, when they're up, like Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson said he would have stayed if they would have offered him something.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when they signed Derek Wolfe.
Right. They made their choice. They decided Derek Wolfe was willing to take the hometown discount and Malik can go get his money free agent-wise.
How much do they honestly think they can win? Honestly, I know you and James are talking 10 wins. I don't see it, man.
A great defense. Eight and eight. It sounds like D-Mac. It's the safest thing you can say. They were 6-10 last year with a poor head coach, a poor quarterback, and people can look back and go, everybody said the same thing last year about Case Keenum that they're saying about Joe Flacco now. No, Case Keenum was a career backup. Joe Flacco is a career starter.
Big difference.
He's an NFL proven quarterback. We know what we're getting. He also fits with the offensive scheme. They traded for him after Scangarello was hired. So he's basically handpicked. John Elway's had a tough time in drafting quarterbacks, whether it's the Zach Dysarts or the Paxton Lynches. It doesn't matter. Whatever route he has taken, he has a tough time trying to figure out the and a lot of GMs do. It's college football is very difficult to gauge how well a college quarterback is going to do in the NFL. And he did this trade, a fourth-round pick, and if it would be the greatest fourth-round pick. Now, the Patriots made I think they gave a fifth-round pick last year for Trent Brown with the Niners, the left tackle, which is one of the greatest trades of all time.
Right.
And, the Raiders paid him this offseason. But for a fourth-round pick, for Joe Flacco to come in and to give this defense a chance to win like they did in 2015, because that's what it smells like. The last time Chris Harris Jr. got paid by the Broncos was 2015, and they won the Super Bowl. This dude, and James alluded to the fact that if things don't go well, Chris Harris Jr. is going to lay down. No way. First of all, he's going to be a free agent. You don't do that in free agent.
That's not Chris Harris.
You're going to get the best Chris Harris, barring an ACL, in 2016.
You're not saying the Broncos think they can make a Super Bowl run, do you? Because that's preposterous. I don't care how much they think they can win. We can make them a run at the wild card. You're not winning the division, and you're not in a Super Bowl window. Maybe next year, maybe.
A wild card team has never won the Super Bowl, except they did. So, with Joe Flacco. I think once you get in, it's a lot like hockey. It's not like the NBA or Major League Baseball. It's a lot like hockey where if you just get into the dance, you have a chance. Because
you're saying they have a chance at the Super Bowl.
If you get 10-6, if you're in the playoffs, you have a chance. Any team that makes the playoffs in the NFL, I mean, these teams that get a bye week, I hate the bye week. I hated it as a player. So not only are you staying sharp, and these teams that are 10-6 that just get in, they're hot. It's like a hot goalie in hockey. You're a hot team then. And the other teams are just kind of sitting back and getting healthy and all of that. But once you get in the playoffs, and I think 10-6 is not unrealistic when you look at how well or how great this defense is going to be, and you have a competent NFL quarterback, provided Philip Lindsay's back, and you don't make a run at Mike Munchak and give him that kind of money. He's not here because his grandkids are here. He's here because the Broncos paid him a bunch of money, and he thinks there's an opportunity here. So you think that he's got to earn that money with Garrett Bowles and Connor McGovern at center. You don't pay a right tackle historic offensive line money if you don't think you're going to make a run at the playoffs. Juwan James isn't here for the future. And now he is. His contract is. But he's here for 2019. They paid Chris Harris because of 2019. They traded for Joe Flacco because of 2019. Drew Lock is not for 2019, unless things go really bad.
And then we're not talking playoffs. We're not talking window. We're not taking.
We're talking
run.
Blow it up. I've said it before. If they're not, there's no chance they're going to be 8-8. They're either going to make the playoffs or it's going to be terrible. It's one or the other. Because go Richie. Because the team, the defense is just too good. Provided they stay healthy. I mean, you would assume that Bradley Chubb is going to make a leap between years one and two.
Bradley Chubb could lead the league in sacks. He looks
outstanding. Wouldn't that be interesting to see Bradley Chubb as the focus of pass protections and offensive coordinators and O-line, and Von Miller's getting singled up on the right side?
Yeah.
Or the offense is right.
It could be quite significant. Richie, I almost feel like I want that blow-up noise again because it was so awesome. Because, well, you're listening to KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac. Richie back there on the ones and twos, D-Mac, Tom Nealon to my left.
D-Mac mentioned the 8-8, and mm-hmm. you said the same thing. And I asked him point blank, I said, defend it. Defend the 8-8. Where do you see 8-8? If you've improved the coaching staff.
Right, which they have.
You've improved the defense.
Which they have.
And you've improved the offense. Is that just a two?
I'm
going to
answer your
swing?
Question with a question. What
is Tyreek Hill playing?
What if Phillip Lindsay is a little bit too banged up to be quite himself early on?
I think
you said it yourself. They got to run the ball. They got to play great defense. What if they can't do one of those?
The style of offense will. Now they don't have Bobby Turner coaching, but I do know that you know, when Terrell got hurt, Alanis Gary stepped in and Mike Anderson. So they might not be Philip Lindsay-esque.
You think that's Devontae Booker? I wrote yesterday on 104.3thefan.com, go get Orleans Darkwa because he's out there. And in one season,
we got no more money now. We got no more money. Got nothing.
Orleans Darkwa is going to cost you like $1 million. Like, he's been more productive than Devontae Booker. And if you have something happen to Lindsay or Freeman and you can't run the ball, you better have a better option than Devontae Booker. So to answer your question,
obviously it's make or break for Devontae Booker. We'll know during training camp whether or not he's even going to make the roster.
He could be one of those, you know.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Like a TJ Ward type of move. Like go to training camp and be like, oof.
Yeah.
They don't have anything behind him. Khalfani Muhammad's 180 pounds. Devontae Jackson, who I like, the kid from, what, West Georgia, he's 175 pounds. So they got a bunch of little backs behind Booker.
How heavy is Philip Lindsay? I mean, Philip Lindsay can be
185.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not much bigger than he was at South. I mean, he's not a big dude.
Yeah.
And he made it work. I mean, he's a tough runner. It doesn't matter about
I don't think Devontae Jackson's like Philip Lindsay.
No.
Like, he's like a discount store version.
From Colorado.
But so was Nolandis Gary compared to Terrell Davis.
True. True. Okay.
Is a discounted version of it. I'm not saying.
Okay, here's the other argument.
Royce Freeman is
going to
be Philip Lindsay. You're just saying based on. You're 8-8 based on Philip Lindsay's wrist injury?
I'm 8-8 based on this division. This is the toughest division of football, bar none, hands down. The Raiders, whatever. Everyone wants to make fun of the Raiders. Fine. They're a bunch of slappies, whatever. But they're much improved. They're much improved.
With Richie and
the Chargers are the best team in this
Vontaze
division.
And AB, you think those cast of characters
Tyrell
are
Tyrell Williams? They got Tyrell Williams as
doesn't
well.
Doesn't that weaken the Chargers?
No, because the Chargers are stacked with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. They still have Travis Benjamin running around. Hunter Henry's going to be healthy. Melvin Gordon is interesting. Like, we have to see if Gordon's going to stay healthy this year and, you know, looking for a new contract. But I think the Chargers are quietly a really, really good defense.
There's no quiet about their defense.
Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram.
There's nothing quiet about that defense.
Well, people talk about the Broncos defense. Chargers defense can be right up there. Let's say that. The Chiefs defense is revamped. I still don't think they're that good.
Player to player, I would pick every Bronco player. No.
Over the Chargers?
Not Ingram, no.
Okay, I was going to say, because we got Joey Bosa.
No. Who? Is Joey Bosa Von Miller?
Joey Bosa, Bradley Chubb, if you had to make that choice.
Chubb.
Okay.
I don't think Bosa's, I mean, the Bosa family, the lineage is not a healthy lineage. He's going to get hurt.
Right.
His brother's already gotten hurt in OTAs.
Right. A little hamstring injury. So I got to be careful with that. But the Chargers, the Chiefs, they're going to be problematic.
I think the Broncos sweep Oakland.
Okay.
And they split with KC and the Chargers. Assuming Tyreek Hill plays in the NFL this year. We still don't know.
I would venture to say no.
That he would not play.
Just based on what I know.
Then I think the Broncos sweep the Chiefs.
Without Tyreek Hill.
That's a team. Their entire defense has been overhauled. And, you know, Mahomes is going to have to rely on Kelce that much more.
They got Mecole Hardman, the kid from Georgia, who they had pegged from day one. Like, even before Tyreek Hill was in trouble again.
I think they knew that Tyreek was in trouble prior to that.
The funny thing is about Tyreek is, like, his teammates love him, and he's got an issue, certainly.
Issues.
He's had several issues. He choked out a pregnant woman before he came in. It was the same woman now that he's fathered the child with. It was that child that she was pregnant with. So, like, his teammates vouch for him, but he's not a good dude. Not in my eyes. So,
You know, we had Brandon Marshall, the receiver here, mm-hmm. and he had a history of domestic issues.
Right.
But in the locker room, Brandon Marshall's a fantastic dude. But outside of that is a different Brandon Marshall, and it's a different Tyreek Hill. Because there's not a guy in the locker room that would say that Tyreek Hill is a good person outside the locker room. But on the team, they love him.
Right. Now, it's different from Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt wasn't really liked by his teammates. And obviously, Kareem Hunt lying to the team, his own domestic issues.
Well, there was a video, and that was basically the end of him.
Then they get shipped off.
And he lied. He lied about what happened.
Right.
And then the video came out, and that was the truth. And they said, well, you lied to us. Bye-bye.
Now they've got Carlos Hyde, though. Carlos Hyde behind that offensive line. Chiefs offensive line and that rushing attack really didn't miss a beat without Kareem Hunt. We could say league-leading rusher, that's cool. but they averaged the same, and their yards per carry was the same before and after Kareem Hunt last year.
You can let I would let the Chiefs run all over me. I don't care because
so that Pat Mahomes doesn't.
That's
you.
That's why their running game is so good. Yes, their O-line is good. Mm-hmm. I love their tackles.
Okay,
but it's about the quarterback, and you pick your poison. What do you want to stop? I want to stop the passing game.
Is Flacco
beat me with the running game?
Is Flacco the best quarterback in this division? No. Is he the second best?
No.
Is he the third?
Yes.
Okay, so fourth is Derek Carr?
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. I can make an argument about it, but that's fair. It's a fair assessment. So you see perhaps a sweep of the Chiefs if they don't have Tyreek Hill.
Right. Split with the Chargers.
Sweep in the Raiders, and then a split with the Chargers.
I just think the Raiders and all the money they spent and even the draft was, I mean, they're just self-destructive. They just do it themselves.
That's their tendency.
It's almost like they have too much money to spend. They don't know what to do with it, and they just go crazy.
Right.
It's like giving your kid like $20 to go into Target. They just buy toys. They're not going to get toothpaste. It's something that's going to help them.
They're going to buy toys.
I feel like that's the Raiders.
Okay.
They've always done that.
So you think 10 wins with this run game intact and with this defense?
Yes. And it's about the defense. And the defense is going to get, and people laugh at the idea, the notion that you could have, you know, Chubb and Von Miller with 20 sacks each, but I'm basing it on the fact that they're going to be playing with some leads. I mean, they were 14.5 and 12.5 last year for six and 10 team. A four-game swing, you're playing with leads. Teams have to throw the ball when they're behind.
Chubb and Miller are more effective when they're behind. I mean, if you want a 20-20 club, which is kind of the talk over there, it's 20 sacks for Vaughn, 20 sacks for Chubb. Vaughn's never had 20 sacks, and he should have had that already.
Don't you love the idea that that's what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's an aggressive mentality. Mm-hmm. Plus, you've upgraded your corners. There's no better friend for pass rushers than legit NFL corners.
Well, when I've talked to people like yourself, Tommy, people in the know, shall we say, I've always asked the question, so I'm going to ask you it right here on air. Isn't it easier in this system to play corner because of what the front seven does? You're not out there playing man-to-man all the time. Chris Harris Jr. talked about it today. I'm not out there having to cover a guy all the way down the field. They're playing a lot of zone.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of picks. Something that we didn't necessarily see with distracted Joe Woods running the defense. That was a god-awful selection as defensive coordinator. People always bang on Vance Joseph for good reason.
Well, they figured he was with Wade, so he would have gleaned something.
Just pay Wade. Should have just paid Wade, because distracted Joe Woods was an abomination for this team. So now, don't you think playing corner would be easier based on what easier, because it's more zone concepts, and the front seven is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
The front seven is going to make their jobs easier. When you're playing zone, it's, you know, you first of all, you have to be coached well to play zone. I mean, if you're just going to play man, cover one, I mean, that's just simple. It's easy, but you got to have the guys to do it. Chris Harris's comments today about this is his first practice with the team, and he said we're going to be. He said complicated, and I thought he was talking at first like it's a, you know, he's confused by it, but what he meant was the offenses are the ones going to be confused by the coverages we're going to do. So to me, it just smells like a Wade Phillips, because Wade would do some confusing stuff. I mean, the ways he would blitz and the coverages, disguises, and
half
all
man,
that.
Half man, half zone, stuff like that.
Offenses did not know what they were doing. Cam Newton had 2 weeks, Carolina in 2015, to figure out what the Broncos defense was going to do, and they couldn't do it. And maybe if he had time to, but he didn't in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was running for his life the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how this defense can't mimic that year. And that was a historic defense. That was the Ravens defense. That was the 85 Bears defense. It was that dominating.
Third facet for 8-8. Okay? And you're putting up a great fight for it.
What's the second? One was Phillip Lindsay's wrist.
First one was, like, you got to make sure Phillip Lindsay's wrist is okay.
Right. The running game.
Second was this division.
Okay.
Number three, right. I'm going to go back to health, but this time it's Joe Flacco because of the last 2 years of him battling injury. Even in 17, when he played a full year, he was battling back injuries. Joe Flacco hasn't really looked like Joe Flacco since like 2016.
Right.
2017, he had some struggles. 2018 started off better. Remember, they were 100% in the red zone. Even when they played against the Broncos, last year. They were 100% in the red zone with Joe Flacco. And, you know, that went by the wayside when he got hurt. But, like,
oh, his health
we're,
is...
We're pointing to a bunch of stuff where, like, things have to set up perfectly. The well, stars have to align, and the Broncos can win 10 games and maybe get a wild card.
Reasonable health.
I got another one, too, if you want to go.
Reasonable
there.
Health, and that means being healthy at the key positions. I mean, Vaughn can't suffer a season ender.
Right.
Chris Harris Jr., Kareem
right.
Jackson, even Bradley Chubb, but Joe Flacco as well.
Right.
He has to be... He's 34 years old. He's never going to be 100% ever again. He's got a herniated disc. He's got hip issues. He's had the knee injury. He's not going to be 100%.
My fourth one and maybe final one, the rest of the conference. If I'm going to pick the wild card teams, now I think the Steelers will be the third team in the AFC North, so don't even think this is a Steelers thing because it's not. I think the Browns could win that division, Baltimore.
The Ravens?
Maybe if Lamar Jackson figures out. The reports out of Baltimore are awful about Lamar Jackson and this new offense. I mean, just god-awful.
Everybody's behind offensively at this point.
That's what they say.
Defense dominates early.
Broncos offense looked a little better today. But the point is, just try to pick the wild card teams. Okay? Chargers and Chiefs are going to the playoffs. One's the division winner. One's a wild card. You have one more wild card to pick from teams like the Texans, teams like the Colts, teams like the Broncos, teams like who else do you want to put in the conversation? The Ravens?
Could the Jets? Could
the Jaguars? Maybe the Jets?
The Jaguars. That was the team that was... See, this is what everyone does. 2018, the Jaguars were a favorite to win the AFC.
And go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
It didn't.
No.
This Did you just go Dr. Phil on me?
No, I went John Elway when he was talking about Tommy Maddox. How'd that work out?
How'd that work? I think he went Dr. Phil on.
I think people are so down on the Broncos, but if Tyreek Hill's not playing, and I have the Broncos sweeping the Chiefs now
the
they're
Chiefs
5-1
in the playoffs.
Now they're 5-1 in the division. So we're not talking wild card. We're talking division champs.
Broncos division champs.
But I don't know at 10-6. I mean, now I'd have them at 11-5 or 12-4. The NFL is the greatest league. It truly is. Because of the contract, everybody's got the same amount of money. The way that the draft is set up, the fact that you can cut a mistake a year later. That's why the Jaguars did not have the year they had. It's just so there's injuries involved. It's free agency and how those pieces fit or if they don't fit. So it's a guessing game up until the end of training camp.
And look how you can turn things around.
Up until the end of preseason games, you can kind of get a better sense of how the league is going to shake out.
I don't want to be safe in a prediction, but I just feel better about 8 wins for this Broncos team.
It's extremely conservative guess. It's a guess.
We're all guessing.
Right.
But I just look at the construct of this conference. I look at the construct of this division.
The division is the number one hurdle.
Yes.
It's not Philip Lindsay's wrist. It's not the rest of the conference. It's their division. And
you must be down on some of the teams in the division then.
Well, I just think Tyreek Hill is that good of a football player for Kansas City and what he's meant to Patrick Mahomes' development.
True.
And if you take him out of the equation and you're going to replace him with a rookie receiver.
Who all my moles in KC say is the real deal.
Yeah. Well, Cortland Sutton was the real deal last year and he had growing pains.
Right.
They do. Rookie receivers do. That most of them don't come in and light it up. I just think there's going to be more focus on the Kelsey there, and their offense isn't nearly as good.
If Pat Mahomes takes a step back,
if he's throwing 50 touchdowns,
he can't throw 50. Has been done three times. You think he's going to do 50 again?
If he does that, then
he's the greatest quarterback ever. If he goes 50 in back to back years,
the Broncos aren't sweeping; they're getting swept because that means he's. It doesn't even matter. It's almost like Tom Brady-esque, where it doesn't even matter who his guy's throwing to.
Plug in Bethel Johnson or whoever.
He's going to make some random dude that we'd never heard of before
right.
a star, a household name.
Right. Okay. You're fairly optimistic about the Broncos,
Because of the defense and Joe Flacco and the fact that they traded for him, he fits their offense. I'm assuming he has decent health.
Okay. Does Royce Freeman need to be the lead ball carrier then? Philip Lindsay still get his... over 1,000 all-purpose yards, and I want Phillip Lindsay to have near 1,000 yards rushing and, let's say, 500 yards receiving. I think he's capable of doing that. But I also want Royce Freeman to have 1,200 yards on the ground.
Like so Royce Freeman, 1,000-yard.
You guys almost had it with Mike Anderson and Tatum Bell. 1,000-yard back and a 900-yard back.
Yeah, that was a it wasn't a great season, though, I don't think.
Went to the AFC Championship
that
game.
That was that year?
Yeah. How do I remember this and you don't? You played.
I thought that was 2006 for some reason.
No, it's 2005. So can this duo be and better than because Phillip Lindsay's better than Tatum Bell?
It's running back by committee for sure. They're going to have to. I mean, Phillip Lindsay wasn't the starter. Royce Freeman was for half the season last year. So it, you know, as far as carries go and how they get divvied up, it's probably in game how it's going and who you're playing.
Does the hot hand approach work, though? You're blocking for these guys. Does that actually work? Because I hate it. I hate the, we got to wait until the game, see what happens. Like, no. Either have a horse and ride that horse or know that you're going to split it up. Does hot hand work?
I loved the way that Bobby Turner coached the running backs. I've said this 1,000 times. He was the most underrated assistant coach of all time. Because when Terrell Davis got hurt, it was like, yes, they weren't Terrell Davis running the ball, but they ran just like him. They had the same cuts. They knew what they were doing. They picked up protections. Everything was the same about them. So you knew exactly where they're going to. It didn't matter for us. We knew where the running back was going to go or where he should go, and that's where they went. Now, after a yard or two, that's the difference between Terrell and the other guys, but it was all the same to us. It never deviated. It was the same. Because they're coached the same. And Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay are two distinctly different backs. But they're going to run in this offense. They should look identical when they hit the hole. After that, completely different.
Right.
It's vision. It's how they, you know, the physical nature.
Is Freeman going to have better timing this year, then? Because I think last year, and they're doing things. We can't say everything they're doing per Broncos media policy. But they're doing things with their rushing attack that makes Royce Freeman look more comfortable. Is timing his biggest issue?
It's zone. It's a zone system. So it's almost simplified. It's you're not really reading the defense as much as you're reading a guy, an offensive lineman. You're reading the left guard. Does he reach his guy or does the guy go outside and you just react to that? So it makes it very simple when you're running the ball. And that's why it makes the running back so consistent, no matter who the running back was. Whether it was Tatum Bell. I mean, Tatum Bell and Clinton Portis are nothing like Terrell Davis. Nothing like
no
bodies, everything about them, speed, everything about them, but they ran the ball the same way. They knew where the cut was. So if Royce Freeman is more comfortable, it means it's a simplified system. And he's being coached well. And we've only had, what?
This is the third week of OTA.
And they had that little mini camp in April. Mm-hmm. So this is, they've had like seven practices.
We're actually in phase three
right
of the offseason. Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But
it seems like all phase one to me.
Also doesn't seem like it should snow at the end of May, but whatever.
I just think that it would be better for the Broncos if their carries were similar. As far as numbers go.
Okay. So like 200 for Lindsay, 200 for Royce?
Right.
Something like that?
And maybe by the end of the year, you're like, no, let's get, you know, let's try to get Royce 20 and Phillip 15 or vice versa.
Is the December swoon real? Like you say end of the year and I'm thinking, okay, is it real?
The last four games.
The last four games of the season where you go, we're just going to wear you down. You're tired. You're tired of playing football. Season's almost over. Maybe you're going to the playoffs. Maybe you're not. But we're going to take our biggest back, and we're going to run your ass over. Is that a thing? Does that exist? Where depends in December? Because look at Derrick Henry, right? They didn't do anything with Derrick Henry. And then they got to like week eight, and then in December, what do you have, like a couple 200-yard games? Like they absolutely ran roughshod over opponents.
There can be myriad reasons why that would happen. It's maybe you got an offensive lineman back. Maybe the passing game is better. Maybe the five guys up front and your tight end are cohesive at that point. We were running the ball well in the year we ran into Baltimore in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
and everything was going smooth. And then we got to Baltimore and thought we could run on them. It depends
You're
on
talking about 2012?
No.
Oh, when you guys ran into them. Oh.
The 2000 season.
Yeah.
We won like 7 out of 8 games. Everything's great. We'll go to Baltimore. We'll just run on them. Saragusa and Sam Adams and Ray Lewis and that crew. And didn't happen. And it was windy. We had to run. And we couldn't. It just depends on who you're playing sometimes. We should have thrown the ball 100 times that game. I don't care about the wind. We couldn't run.
So even with the wind, you would have
thrown the ball.
Tried something different?
All day long. Let Gus air it out. Because it was impossible to run against a defense. Impossible.
You ever bring that up to Mike?
I think Mike watched the film after the game and realized it.
He knew.
Why did I do this?
Why?
And vice versa, the 98 AFC Championship game, it was windy against the Jets. And I think we're losing, getting booed at halftime. We're like 15-2. We're losing 10-0, 3-0, whatever it was. But it was windy. It was very windy. And we were throwing the ball the whole first half. We got in the locker room, and Shanahan's like, we're running the ball. We're not messing around. So, but it doesn't, you know, the last four games of the year, it's usually teams are going one way or another. And, you know, you get on a roll, and there's confidence involved. And, the running backs know exactly where to hit it when it comes time to run the ball.
You want Royce Freeman to be more confident this year because last year, not only the high ankle sprain, he's playing on one leg.
Yeah.
You know, high ankle sprain, don't look the same. And then you start losing confidence because you get there, you're supposed to be the guy.
And you see Phillip doing what he's doing.
And you see Phillip going to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, that should have been me. He wasn't drafted. So, yeah, I mean, he's probably looking at it like, we got all new coaches here. Our offensive line's completely different. We have a brand new tight end. Everything's completely different. I'm just throwing that year out, and I'm going to be the man. The Phillip's hurt right now. He's rehabbing. This is the chance I needed to regain that spot. But I'd love to see both of them.
How difficult is that as a teammate to be like, my guy's banged up, and I'm going to take over? Is that just how you operate, how you think?
Like an opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Don't even bat an eye.
Yeah, you might be buddies in the meeting room and off the field, but he's hurt. Thank you. I'm getting reps.
It's my turn.
Yeah. It's cold.
Okay. Well, Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I got my job because Keith Kartz blew his knee out in a ski race. Okay.
And when did you learn about this?
After I was drafted. They drafted me as an insurance in case, you know, he couldn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't come back.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, good for me. Bad for him.
Such as. All right. Do the Broncos have a concern with one of their tight ends? That's next.